Okay, good. So, right, number one, he says, you know, if you believe that, as the Rambam says, it's the Ikar Gadol and all of Judaism depends on it, and sort of what's the point of the world without human agency, right? So then start with the Ikar and then move on from there, right? Okay, and? Yeah, Ben Sion? Good. So he does mention that as well, right? You know, could have put it there. It's in Sefer Hamada, Ezra. Exactly. So, you know, and the language is a great deal that the Rav had is Perek Hey, you know, where Bechira Chavshus is discussed. It starts with the language of Rishus L'chol Adam Nesuna. And then the Rambam goes on from there to say you could be a tzaddik k'moshe Rabbeinu or Rasha Ki Rav Minavat, and you get to choose whether you're a chacham or a sachal, or a Rachman or an Achzar. It's an amazing thing, you know, that it's your choice. If you want to be a Chacham, you could say, well, but I don't have such a high IQ. So the Rambam would say, you have to work on it. You have to work on it. You have to shape yourself, v'chule. In Perek Zion, the first word is Hawil, since we have this idea of Rishus, you know, L'chol Adam Nesuna, so on and so forth, his description there. So clearly, you know, it wasn't like an accident. Nothing in Hilchos Teshuva is an accident. Nothing in the Rambam in general is an accident. But it's very, very clear from the language. Perek Hey and Perek Vav are just basically about Bechira Chavshus. Perek Vav, anybody just happened to know, I didn't give you any makoros about it, but it's dealing with which question? Well, it's dealing with free will, but... Right, so how do you reconcile that with divine omniscience? And in particular, how do you reconcile that with the idea that God is fully in control of the world, the Kol B'dei Shamayim, Chutz Mi'ir HaShamayim? So Perek Vav is just basically dealing with some of the loose ends of Perek Hey. So Perek Zion, you should really think of it as, you know, what comes as the next topic of right after Perek Hey. So that was the basic set of questions. You saw, by the way, that in the Hakdama, the text that I gave you, Ben Kesela Asur, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so a lot of things that Rabbi Adler just mentioned are actually in the text that you read last night, where he mentions the RCA, of course, but he says, we always learn the same thing. We always learn the Rambam Hilchos Teshuva. And he says, you know, Hafochba Vafochba, and we always find that there's something new. What Rabbi Adler mentioned, that was Rav Lichtenstein's minhag as well. He would also learn one parak of Hilchos Teshuva of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So there's a real masorah there to behold. Okay, so in brief, and we'll see some of the language inside. But what was the Rav's chakira? Yeah, Akiva. So your grandfather heard it live. So you know Ben Bino. It's an amazing thing. Okay. Apparently, he didn't miss a single one. So.
The Rav developed this idea that there are two kinds of tshuva. There's this like dramatically transformative tshuva, that's tshuva shel tshuva.
Good.
There's also like a lesser level of tshuva, not to downplay it at all, but like a lower level where you change a certain aspect about yourself, but it's not this like complete transformation of your character.
Right, so in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, the Rambam, where he's talking about tshuva and vitui, is talking about tshuva min hachet. Person's involved in a chet. Person involved in, he's Megalech Betar. A person is, you know, Ochel Nevelus Atreifus. It's wrong, you know. It's a lav sheish b'malkus, you know. A person needs chelav, he could be chayv kares, instead of veira chamura. And the person has to do tshuva. And that involves certain things, as we know. You saw in the text of the Rambam that we provided. That means a person has to, you know, abandon the chait, v'yasiro m'machshavato, and distance himself from it in his mind, v'yoyed alav yadei talumos, and he should internally testify that he's not going to do this again, what we call kabal al-atid, v'chein yisnachim ala she'avar, acharei shuvi nichamti, then he has to verbalize it, that's the maisa mitzvah, right? V'yomar and yanos elu, dvarim elu shagamar belibo, that's tshuva min achet. Basically, the tshuva that's described at the outset of Hilchos Tshuva. Then you have discussion in Perek Hey of this Bechira Chavshus. Anytime you get to tshuva of Perek Zion, so it's no longer tshuva min achet, but
Tshuva from bad personality.
Oh. So here, right, the Rambam says a person should not make the error of believing that tshuva is only mina masim. But let's read that passage inside. It's one of my favorites. Right, the Rambam says that even more important and more fundamental is tshuva from the deos haros, things that are corrosive to one's personality. Shimmy, go ahead. Al tomar, this is bolded. Perk Zion.
Just like a man is required to return from these things, who tarech alach apesh b'deos ro'os sheyesh lo v'ashuv minakas, minaeva, minakina, minachitel, miridikas.
Hittel, frivolity.
What?
Frivolity, hittel. Wandering Q. Nothing. I witnessed this. I saw the Rambam wasn't entirely correct because it apparently does have an associated Maisa. I always saw Radifa Samachalos. What's that? I saw Maisa Radifa. Yeah. Okay. Vechayotze Bahen.
Find bad personality traits that he has and return from those, like anger and what does Ava mean?
Oh. It means jealousy.
Enmity.
And hatred and jealousy.
Kid knows about jealousy.
Frivolity and cheating money. Wasting money.
No, chasing.
Money
and prestige and carnal pleasures, yeah. Ve'elu avonos kashin me'osan sheishman ma'isa shebisman shadam nishka be'elu. Right, the person is literally entrenched, ensnared, shakua, submerged in the world of redifas ma'achalos, redifas akavod, redifas hamamon. He's submerged in it. He's drowning, right, in the culture of materialism. Right, kasha hu lifrosh mem. It's extremely difficult for a person to extract themselves. Ve'chein hu omer. Right, so here, what did he mean by the Vagomer? It's Yashov Rasha Darko. Right, so Yazov Rasha Darko, it's not just a Maisa, but it's his whole way of life. V'al yadam adam bal tshuva shum ruchak mimala sa tzadik, and they have those of Chadato Shasa. Ein adavar kein, Ella. Right, so the reason I bolded that, as you can understand, is that the Rav develops what idea here when he talks about Chua Gula? Levi, go ahead.
Yeah, basically something
in person. Exactly. So, Vilchensi once said that he thought the Rav was almost obsessed with this idea, and he would know, that the idea of the human being as creative was extremely important in the Rav's line of thought. Many of us have read together The Lonely Man of Faith. Some of us read that last year. So, Mahu Borei Olamos, Avata Borei Olamos. But the Rav felt that the greatest and most important act of human creativity was transformation of self, shaping and reshaping one's own character, molding oneself. Right? And so, when the Rambam talks about this idea of, you know, if I could borrow an expression of Chazal, kekatan hanola dami, right? You know, he's talking about a person ki'ilu lo chata me'olam. Later on, emesh, just yesterday, hayazeh sanoi lifnei amokam, mishukatz, meruchak, to'eva, hayom, right, the diametric opposite, ahov, nechmad, karo, v'yadid, emesh, a few lines later, hayazeh muvdal me'hashem elokei Yisrael, shenem arvanosecham ayum avdilin, Soek v'enonane, etc. Osem etzos torfin osem biyadan. And now, hayom, mudbak bashchina,
really attached to the Shechina, Shenemar, Vatem, Atvekim, Tzoek, Venana, Osa, Mitzvos, everything is parallel. He's attached to the Shechina instead of being alienated. His mitzvos are fully accepted. His tfilos are niskabel biratzon. So the Rav thought, of course, as you all saw, that Bechira Chafshis was very important and a prerequisite for tshuva shel gula. Now, he didn't deny at any point the idea that it was a manifestation of free will to be poresh min acheder min ha'avon, the tshuva of Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. But the ultimate expression, the Rav felt, as you saw, of Bechira Chafshis was not just to be able to change an action here or there, you know, by gritting your teeth and, you know, sort of overcoming it, but the most important thing in terms of expressing your free will, let's say the apotheosis of the expression of free will would be to transform oneself. Not an action or a series of actions, but to literally reform one's very identity. As the Rambam speaks about here, it's you're a totally different person. Renerpach liish acher, emesh, you were X, Y, and Z. Today, you are A, B, and C. And that is the basic explanation of the structure of Hilchos Tshuva. Let's pause, take some questions, then we'll go on from there. Shai, Yenison, Akiva.
The Rambam talks about in Hilchos Tshuva of someone who says, you know, I'm going to sin, and then, you know, like, have Kapara and Kippur. And if we're saying that the human, I guess the human nature of Bechira Chafshis is being able to change yourself. But inherently, if you have that mindset, it says you're not able to have kapara from that. So what's the...
So what you're referring to is a principle called Echtev Ashuv, or Echtev Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. So that doesn't work. A person can't say that I'm going to sin, and don't worry, you know, it'll be okay later on. Because that obviously is a cynical manipulation of what tshuva really is. It can't possibly be, you know, a sincere form of tshuva, because at the very time when you did the maisa, what you really reflected was the idea was that you don't really care at all about, you know, acting in contrary to God's will. You're just, you know, dealing with the consequences. Yenison, you were next.
When you say Ki'ilu,
it's a good question. And in the Rav's formulation here, in this particular drasha, it sounds like he goes for the more ambitious one, is that, you know, your connection to that previous individual has been totally severed. You're like no longer the same person. He disagrees, but, you know, he disagrees, and I think this is to your point. Remember he mentions that the Lechem, anybody saw, I didn't give you this part, sorry. The Lechem Mishnah thought that the Rambam here was channeling was the Gemara about Reish Lakish's famous comment about Tshuva Me'ava, namely, go ahead Ephraim, that Tshuva Me'ava turns Zedonos into Mitzvos, yeah, as opposed to Tshuva Me'ira, which only turns Zedonos into Shkagos. Yeah. So he didn't think that was true. He didn't think it was a matter of taking those same actions and redefining them. He said it was beyond that. It was not what he called tshuva me'ava, but tshuva from geula, a person who literally had redeemed his personality. So ki'ilu lo chata me'olam, historically speaking, it was you. It was the same human being, the same organism that did this. But ki'ilu lo chata me'olam, that as far as we're concerned, we don't look at it that way. Akiva, and then Noam.
Where does the Rambam talk about, like, moving your face or changing your name?
So that is what Noam wants to get into. Go ahead. Yeah.
I
go ahead. Yeah, I knew you were going to ask it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Read it. Noam, read it first. Yeah, so what I was going to say is both micro and macro. So I think it's a very, very good question.
And sometimes the Rav would, for you know, pedagogical purposes, overstate the difference of saying it. It was like completely black and white. And I think, in fairness, you're basically right that there are elements in Perek Aleph and Beis where he talks about character reformation and not just Maisim, and there are elements in Perek Zion where he also references Chataim, including the passage that Yonason just quoted, and it asked the right question. He talks about the impact of the chayt and having to undo that. So I think there are elements in both directions. So even if we, we'll slightly modify the Rav's position, I think the point still stands. When he talks about oso ha'ish, sha'asa osa maisa, right? The point is that it's still related back to a particular action. So it's hard to deny the Rav's general point that Perek Aleph and Beis seem very, very, very far apart in terms of the general orientation, even though you're right, you could identify passages here and there that sound like they could have been in the other place. What I would again, highlight, and to me this diuk is very, very powerful, it's the ho'el l'rishus nesuna part of it, right? It seems very clear, the intentionality of this is the part that I put in the Bechira Chafshis for, because it really involves, reformation of character and not merely just, abandoning a sin here and there. And I think that rings true, and this is a point that I wanted to come back to, and I think I saw one other hand, so let me take that question first before I, sort of throw my two cents onto this. Drasha, did I miss anybody? Levi, go ahead. Okay, so what I was going to say is the following. We can talk about tshuva from a variety of perspectives, and I think that the reason that I chose this specific essay from Ala Tshuva to start us with is I think what the Rav is trying to help us understand here is that tshuva. When you get into the Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnus, it takes on, I'm putting this in my own words, I don't mean to ascribe this to the Rav, but this is where the Rav leads me. This is just my commentary, let me make that very, very clear. He didn't say this. So one can think about tshuva, as sort of amounting to, this laundry list. I've got 1,000 lavin that I can't do anymore, and 42 essays that I need to be better on, and 364 derabanans, and all that is important. I don't mean to demean any of that, but sort of takes on almost a very negative, and sometimes you hear people giving voice to this, like, oh, it's all about guilt. About guilt. So even if it were only about guilt, it would still be important, obviously. There is a master of the universe and we are responsible. But I think what the Rav is trying to say, especially when you get to Perek Zion, is that is a very myopic perspective, very narrow point of view about how we should think about tshuva. Tshuva is a highly affirmative process. Tshuva at its best, in its highest form, not just tshuva gemura min hachet, but tshuva shel geula, is perhaps the most anthrocentric and life-affirming, human-affirming, institution that one can imagine. Ho'ol reshus, b'yad adam nisuna. Since Hashem has given us enormous creative power, we have the ability to shape our lives. And, at some point the rubber hits the road and you have to ask yourself, will I do X or Y? But it's a very energizing kind of an idea. And it takes it away from, something where, you could possibly describe it as, it's just about guilt over different things that I might be doing, but it encourages us, it really demands us, of us, to sort of look and ask in the most fundamental way who we are. What exactly is important to us? what do we want to achieve in our limited time here? You know, Elef Shanim Beinecha Ki Yom Es Malki Yavor. It's not a very long time. Uzecharis Barecha Mimei Bechurosecha. You know, thank God you guys are at the very dawn, you know, of your time, but it's all very limited. And Tshuva asks us to think, like, you know, in a very serious way, not just about what I did that Wednesday, maybe that was the wrong choice, but, you know, as the Rambam talks about, the Deos, who am I as a person? Ahov or Meshukatz? You know, To'eva Yadid. And that I don't think anybody could, you know, sort of demean or degrade into, like, just a laundry list. It's about the most fundamental thing a person could really do. And what an opportunity, as, you know, Rabbi Adler said, what an opportunity to be able to take time at the beginning of, you know, each and every year to think about that. And if it means that, you know, I have to recreate myself, not from a perspective just of guilt, you might call it the Perek Aleph and Perek Beis perspective, but because of the who I really aspire to be, in a very affirmative sense. This is what I want for myself. So that, I think, is a highly affirmative experience, and something that, you know, can very much be embraced. And you wouldn't associate with guilt. Now again, acharei shuvi nichamti, if I could quote that, you know, then, God willing, after one has adopted the new posture and achieved, you know, this new sense of self, yeah, it would seem very regrettable that, you know, one did X, Y, and Z, and really beneath one's station. But I think the Tshuva Perek Zion perspective, hopefully for all of us, reminds us of Tshuva as an opportunity, and not just some kind of a burden that has to be dealt with. Okay.